Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now the stage is set, my friends, for this year's Super Bowl down in Miami. And let's just say, throughout a postseason that was thrilling and entertaining and rather chaotic at times, Championship Sunday didn't exactly live up to that description, as the two better teams found ways to win, and they were able to do so in rather convincing fashion. You start first with the Kansas City Chiefs, who take down the Tennessee Titans in the AFC title game by the score of 35-24. And this game was far more competitive, was far more intriguing than a nightcap, which we will get to, because of the fact that the Tennessee Titans were able to get off to the sort of start that was very similar to what you saw last week in Baltimore. It was very similar in a way to what you saw between the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. They get out to the 10-point lead, and you had to be feeling great from a Tennessee standpoint. Derrick Henry is up to his usual tricks. Ryan Tannehill, with a lot of single one-on-one coverage, is making some throws and is making some plays. You get the big guy touchdown. You get Derrick Henry doing his thing. But if you knew anything based upon what we saw last week, you had to know Kansas City never, ever, ever out of a game with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. And sure enough, what was a 10-point Titan lead changed, and let's just say shifted quite dramatically. And that is why, folks, when you have that dynamic offense with a special player and a special talent, I'm always a believer in deferring the ball. That way, if you play your cards right, you can set up scoring right at the end of the first half and then kick it off the second half. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs found their rhythm. Tyreek Hill making big plays. Mahomes settling into this ball game. But the turning point in the game, and I think the difference-making play in the game, is the electrifying touchdown run that Patrick Mahomes has right at the end of the first half, marching his team right down the field, but Mahomes escaping trouble, finding running room, and not only taking it 10 yards, 15, but boom, all the way up the sideline, showing you a little muscle right around the goal line and punching in for a touchdown. And I don't know about you guys, but the minute Patrick Mahomes makes that play, there is not a doubt in my mind to who is going to win the AFC title game. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs were not going to be denied again. This is a team that lost last year to New England Patriots. That kind of was etched in their memory all year. They kind of quietly went about their business this season. Maybe it was the Mahomes injury. Maybe it was this emergence of soon-to-be MVP Lamar Jackson. The Chiefs kind of were laying in the weeds, and it worked out perfectly for them, getting that two seed, getting the week off. Then it was all systems go for the guy who has now shown you, and I don't even think it's close, folks, that the most dynamic, the most electrifying, and just the flat-out best quarterback and the best player in the league is Patrick Mahomes. Because what can't Patrick Mahomes do? That could do it all. Look at some of the throws. Look at some of the plays he made in this title game. Now, you can get on the Titans at times for not sending enough pressure. Yeah, that would be a critique. I thought their game plan in the early going was actually pretty good. But the Chiefs, to their credit, when Mahomes and Andy Reid were able to figure it out, and when you have the sort of speed that they have, they're just really tough to match up with. Hill, Hardman, Sammy Watkins, Kelce at tight end, Damian Williams, who has been a real nice pickup for them, running the football, catching it. That is a well-oiled machine on offense. Tennessee, couple calls went against them. I don't think it would have made a difference in the game. I thought the pass interference call at the end of the game was just total bogus. There was a holding call that basically was the difference between a third and one and a third and 11. And if you want to get on Tennessee for anything, I think the one knock for Tennessee is that maybe in the second half, they panicked a smidge and might have gotten away from Derrick Henry a little prematurely. That said, that's a nitpick, because I don't get the sense that Kansas City team in that moment, in that stadium, was going to be denied again a trip to the Super Bowl. That's what happens when you have a special talent like Patrick Mahomes. All of the curses of Arrowhead Stadium, playing home games, the 95 divisional round game against Indianapolis, 2 years later, one seed taking on Denver, year after year after year, a playoff heartbreak for the Chiefs. You notice how that all simply goes away when you got the electrifying, dynamic quarterback? All that bad juju, all that bad karma, throw it out the window. Because the great player, the special player, is going to find a way. And now Kansas City, for the first time in a very, very long time, over 50 years, is back in the Super Bowl. You wondered in the NFC, would it be a rematch of Super Bowl I? I know I was hoping for it to be a rematch of Super Bowl I. Let's just say, if that was your fancy, it was not to be. And unlike the Tennessee Titans, who fought, who gave you everything they had, from their head coach to their quarterback to their overall team, I don't think the Titans could walk out of that stadium with their heads down. They should, in fact, walk out of that stadium with their heads held high. I can't make that argument about the Packers. The Packers went into the Bay Area and basically, for the second time in 2 months, got thoroughly whooped, got thoroughly embarrassed by the San Francisco 49ers. And this game got off to a terrible, terrible tone. Green Bay shockingly gets the stop, three and out to start the game. Awesome. They're moving the ball decently on their opening drive. They get stopped on a third and short. They had a fourth and one. You watch it in the first game. Kansas City going for it. Tennessee going for it. Matt LaFleur decides to punt the football. And I would have gone, you guys know me, very pro-analytics, very pro-going for it when you can in those situations. I just think it's advantageous. That said, I understood what he was doing. Because he is figuring, okay, this is not going to be a high-scoring game. This is going to be one of those games in which field position, winning those battles, is going to be also important. Well, after that first drive of the game, you could take that narrative and shove it, because the San Francisco 49ers said, we're going to dare you to stop the run, and we don't think you can do it. From Raheem Mostert to early in this game, Tevin Coleman before he got hurt, the Green Bay Packers had absolutely no chance in slowing down that freight train. And the Niners hit him in the mouth, they hit him early, and I knew Green Bay was in a world of trouble when the Niners on a third and seven, run a draw play to perfection, and it goes for a touchdown. That started the scoring for San Francisco, and then it got rather ugly for the Packers. This game got to 27-0, end of the second quarter. Don't look at the final score. The final score in this game was cosmetic, folks, with Green Bay getting a couple of garbage touchdowns, which, well, may have been significant to some, for those who maybe decided to play the over. That might have been one of the only reasons why you were sticking around and watching that game midway through the fourth quarter. And even when the Packers made it somewhat interesting at 34-20, you never, ever, ever got the sense that the Packer defense could get a stop, that the Packer defense could get off the field, and that they could slow down San Francisco. Listen to these numbers. 354 total yards, but 285 rushing yards for Kyle Shanahan's offense. They weren't trying to fool you. There are times we've seen Kyle Shanahan offensive game plans be very complex, throw you off your toes. This is not one of them. They said, line it up, our big boys against your big boys. Can you handle us? They couldn't. Being able to own the line of scrimmage is key. And now in two straight playoff games, the Niners have now advanced to the Super Bowl with not a whole lot from their quarterback. There's not a knock on Jimmy Garoppolo in any way because they haven't really asked him to do very much. They have put the trust and the faith of the Niners in a Super Bowl on the running game, on the offensive line, and on that defense. And then you get to the Packer offense. The Packer offense, and I know the narrative of Aaron Rodgers losing again to his former boyhood team is going to be a tough one for him to swallow. I know people are going to be drumming up the narrative that Aaron Rodgers is shot and he's getting up there and doesn't have a whole lot left to give. There are not many quarterbacks that would have survived the onslaught we saw from the Niners. All the different guys they can throw at you at defense, the impact that guys like Dee Ford and Quan Alexander have had in taking the Niner defense to another level. Look at the QBR for opposing quarterbacks when they have everybody in the lineup. It is frightening. It is scary, scary good. Was Rodgers particularly good in this game? No. He had a much better second half. It was too little, too late. His team was overwhelmed. And it goes back to the narrative we had about the Packers for a good majority of this year. Weren't quite as good as that 13-3 record. And I know some people are going to get on Matt LaFleur. Look, that's not 13-3 type talent. I'm sorry, it's not. You look at the Packers, you tell me that's 13-3 team, I don't see it. To get to the NFC title game, to get back into the postseason, I think all in all, that's a good year for the Packers, but they're going to have to figure out how to maximize the final couple of years of the Rodgers era if he's going to get back to and win a Super Bowl. And now we're going on over a decade since Aaron Rodgers has won a Super Bowl. And it just goes to show you, no matter how talented, no matter how special a quarterback you may be, the assumption that you're going to get back year after year after year, we've seen it over time in the NFL. Not always the case. Aaron Rodgers, Dan Marino, just to name a few. And that's why if you're Patrick Mahomes now, as you get ready over the next 2 weeks as the most electrifying and the most special player in the league, know this, never, ever know when you're getting back. Yes, odds are I'd put money on Patrick Mahomes being in this game a ton over the next two decades. That's what conventional wisdom would tell us. But the history of the NFL says you just don't know. You don't know. And this is going to be a real fun Super Bowl matchup. Because what you will have is, to me, in the postseason tournament, the most electrifying offense sport has to offer. Kansas City's high-powered passing attack taking on, without a doubt, the best defense the sport has to offer. That pass rush, that attitude, that swag the Niners been playing with all year. Down in Miami, those two units going against each other. Oh, baby, get your popcorn ready. As for Championship Sunday, didn't really live up to the billing. A good effort from the Titans, not going to be good enough against the great Patrick Mahomes. Effort from a Packers standpoint, just not where it needed to be against a big bad bully that can own the line of scrimmage and can beat you a variety of different ways.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.